I wanted to share something this morning with you that is just, it's funny because it's probably a message and a word out of the scripture that you've heard 1,000 times, especially if you've sat under the word in this ministry. But I really feel like that God, what happened is about 3 months ago, maybe not even that long, let me kind of take you in personally into my world for just a second. I know that's scary. Just hang on. What I do is I yearly, this is kind of where I start my year out. It's not kind of, it takes me a minute to get here. We left January 15th from Toledo, Ohio, and then we're in Florida, all over Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico, and now here we are in Arizona, and tomorrow we leave for California. But spiritually, I come to this place and I start to ask God, God, what is it that you're wanting to say through me to Shiloh, to the men of Shiloh, to the church of Shiloh? And it's just like kind of one of these places that's my, can I say it like this without sounding too braggadocious? It's where I feel like you are sending me out of here. I hope you understand that and how much that means to me. It's like I ask for a word from God and then I bring it here and then it's like you're sending me from this place out. And that's how I visualize it. That's how I see it. And actually that came from Pastor Hostin. He spoke that over me 4 years ago and I received it, and that's the way I see it now to this day. So this is the word that God began. When I was really seeking God, praying about it, I woke up in the middle of the night, and just felt like I was supposed to go read my word. And I went to this passage. And I read the passage, and as I was beginning to read it, I'm realizing I've read this 1,000 times. Thank you, sir. I've read this so many times, and it's almost redundant, and it's almost, there's probably water up here, but I like to get it from Pastor Medeiros. What, are you going to say no to him? No, thank you. There's two bottles up here. Oh, water. Why did I think of that? And I'm reading the scripture and I'm like, yes, God, this is good, but I've heard it all before. There comes a point, when you sit under the word long enough, you're going to come across things that you've read before. Woo, come on. You're going to come across things that have been preached before. There's going to come across things that you think you've known before. But we know that the word is alive. And you can get revelation out of something in a completely different way than you thought you had seen it before. Amen. So I got done reading this scripture and I wasn't getting the revelation. I'm like, why in the world would you have me read? I mean, it's good. It's a good story. You know? But then what I did is I laid in the floor of my bus and laid there and for about an hour and just began just to, God, just press in. What are you wanting to show me with this? You woke me up this morning and I got nothing. You ever had that happen, Pastor? I got nothing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed. And I went and I woke up that morning, and out of my mouth, as I sat up in the bed, out of my mouth, I heard the words come out of me, stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. So I want to show you how that all connects with this scripture and how God revealed it to me. If you go to Genesis 22, that's, y'all know where Genesis is? Good. It's funny to watch people sneak out of, you know, they're watching the Cowboys sing. They're like, okay, well, this is not what we signed up for this morning. So we're trying to get it. You there? All right, watch this. I just really, let's press in. Let's just believe God. Your word is a treasure, Father. We pray for revelation this morning through your word. So it says in chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham." Say tested. God tested Abraham. And he said to him, "Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here am I." Okay, let me kind of walk you through that for just a second. Here's what we know about God. When God speaks, what does it sound like? The word tells us, a still, small, quiet voice. So when he spoke to Abraham, he didn't say, "Abraham." He said, "Abraham." And Abraham, who was a man of faith, who had a relationship with God, immediately heard his voice and said, "Here I am." That is a level of relationship that is something that we should all be pressing for, to be able to immediately. I can see Abraham working in the garden, doing something, and immediately says, "Whoop, oh, I know that voice. Here I am. Here I am." So he says, "Take now your son, your only son." I think it's interesting that he uses that those two words, "your only son." I'm hoping that you can connect the dots with that. Take now your son, your only son. When did we hear that again? Take now your son, your only son. It was intentional. God is setting it up. God is revealing something through Abraham and his relationship with his son. Take now your son, your only son. Here's the thing. We know the story. We know that Abraham was promised a son, was childless for years, was promised a son, and it didn't come quickly, did it? It was something he had to continue to stay in faith, continue to not look at the circumstances, but rather look at the promise. Not look at the circumstances, but rather stand on the word given by God. Because if he was looking at the circumstances, and there was a time when he faltered. There was a time that he questioned. There was a time that he stepped out of faith and stepped into carnal ability. And he tried to make what God had said to do. He tried to force that into be truth. And he slept with his maiden, his handmaiden. And who was born out of that? Ishmael. But my God is a restoring God. My God is going to finish the work that he started in you. My God is going to complete the promise that he promised that he gave to you in the first place. Even when you mess it up. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you, Father, for mercy. That you stay with the plan that you gave me in the first place. So he said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice." Very descriptive. "A burnt sacrifice offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So Abraham, okay, all right. So God, do you have children? Okay. How long did, okay, let's, you're Abraham. Did you know you're Abraham? Stand up here. You're Abraham. How you doing, brother? I like this dude right here. So you're Abraham. You've been waiting and blessed and praying for a child for years and years and years, and now you're 107 or 99, whatever the word said. How old are you? He went into instant acting. You see this? That's what Sean would do too, yeah. And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, right? And it finally happens. You get the promise. What is the, did you know that the name of his son, Isaac, means the promise? Right? You get the promise. The promise came to fruition. And then he says, kill him. Offer him as a burnt offering to me. So I gave him to you. I want you to give him back to me. How would you deal with that?
Got some wood.
Maybe I asked the wrong guy, because maybe he's a faithful, loving servant of God. I'd be like, no way! Are you crazy? I waited for all these years for this promise, and you're going to have me go up in a mountain and offer him as a burnt offering? You all know that is not going to happen, right? Or more so, you might be like whining and crying and stomping your feet and throwing a hissy fit. How would you act? You're sitting there just staring at me. How would you act? Can we just be real this morning? How would you act? You know what Abraham did? He rose up early in the morning. Can you imagine? I can almost picture Abraham. Skip to the Luda, skip to my day. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. I'm going to burn my son. He rose up early and come on, man. Y'all got to, come on, are you with me? The brother rose up early and happy and obedient and going to follow through with what God told him to do, even though in his mind, in his heart, it made no sense. But I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be obedient. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. Even when it don't seem like it makes any sense to do so. So watch this. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and they rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, come on, the third day, somebody say the third day. Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder. He's a cowboy. We're going to go yonder, and we're going to worship. And here's the part that blew me away. And we will return. Oh! And we will return back to you. To me, at first, when you're reading this, it seems almost like a stiff-necked, hard-heart, disobedient man. You know, I'm just going to go through the actions, the motions here, but you know what? We're going to come back, so, you know, don't worry about it. We're coming back. No. That is not his heart at all. That is not his heart at all. Here's the point. Come on. This is where I really need you to lean in with me this morning. He has the most incredible relationship with his father that he knows that God is going to supply. That God is going to come through. It don't make no sense to me. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to follow through this to the nth degree, because I know that my God gave me this promise, and I know his personality. I know his heart. I know the way he works, and I know that he's got a plan. And all I got to do is step into the plan and trust and obey. Woo, come on. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Man. So Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac. Okay, now put yourself in Isaac's position. Oh, come on, man. Oh, man. And he laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And I love this, verse 7. It says, but... Usually the verses that start with but are my favorite. Because you're like, oh, something's awry. Something's amiss right here. And he says, but Isaac spoke. It's so eloquently. You can just see. And he says to his Abraham, he said to his father, Abraham, my father. And immediately when he said, my father, Abraham said what? Here I am. Oh. So let me get this straight. The same relationship that I have with my son, who I see, who I love, who I can touch, who I can feel, I could have that same relationship with my father. Is that really possible? Is he really that real? I really feel like that's where most Christians are, is we live in our temporal, physical realm, and that is more real to us than the supernatural. And what God is saying is, we were driving down the interstate the other day, as usual, in our coach, and I was looking out of the, and I'm looking at the natural, the mountains and the desert and the dirt, and I said, you know, I bet if I could just pull this window back, I wish to see in the supernatural the same that I see in the natural. Because then what's going on in the supernatural is actually more real than what's going on in the natural. Is God real? Can you hear His voice? If Abraham could hear the voice of God the same way that he heard the voice of his own son, then yes and amen. He is real. He is alive. And He is relational. But I think it's so... Oh, no. I lost my space. Oh, I found it. That's the Lord right there. Did y'all see that? It's a pow. Look at that. But my favorite... I think it's so interesting. Abraham speaks and says... come on. I'm putting this in Johnny-ism right here. He says, hey, Dad... He said, can you go in that place right there, right now? Can you just see it? Hey, hey, Dad, I see, he said, look, I see the fire and I see the wood. Where's the lamb? Oh, can you imagine if you were Isaac, you'd be like, what's going on? I see the fire, I see the wood, but I ain't seen no lamb. And I'm about to freak out right now. But guess what? Abraham speaks peace to his son. And he says this, and he says, Abraham says, my son, God will provide peace to you. Peace to you. Okay, in that moment of stress, in that moment of fear that Isaac is walking in, God's his father speaks to his son and says, I know that circumstances are looking pretty rough right now, but let me just promise you, God will provide. I know him. I know it don't look good. I know my money's running out at the bank right now. I know that I know my job is stressful right now. I know that my job might not even be here in 3 months. I know that my kids are driving me flat stinking crazy. But I know that God will provide. Because He said He would. And get this. So he said he will provide for himself. And now I think it's so interesting. He said he will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Is that what God said? Did God say, I'm going to provide a lamb for you? Just go up there and go through the motions? No. He didn't. Are you with me here? He didn't say he was going to do it. it's not willful disobedience. It's not, he didn't say that. So it's almost like he's just saying, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I'm just giving you words. No, there's something on the inside of Abraham so deep, so relational. He knows his God so much that he knows that what he's saying to his son is truth, is truth, is truth. And that brings peace. You have to know the voice of your father. You have to know the heart of your father. You have to know the will of your father. Watch this. In verse 9 it says, and then they came to the place in which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and then bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. It's getting serious right now. This is beyond just talking about it. This is beyond. This is, the boy is bound up and laid on the altar. Isaac is not fighting it. Because why? He knows his father's heart. And he's putting his trust even to the degree of death. I don't get this. I don't understand this. But I know my father. And I trust my father. Lord Jesus. And this is one of my favorite verses, verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. He took the knife, and his intention was to slay his son. Make no mistake, his intention was to slay his son. He took the knife. Okay, if it were me, this is how I would do it. I'm going to do it. Where are you, God? Okay, all right, God. I'm going to do it. All right, right? Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. And here's what he's... This is what I would probably do. Three. Two. I'm really going to do it. I'm for real. No, that's not what Abraham did. Abraham picked up the knife, raised it up to slay his son. Do you think he lied to his son? Do you think he lied to those two back at the base? Do you think he lied to himself? Or do you think that he knew his God so much that even if he were to slay his son, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Father of the creation of the universe, the one that gave him breath, the one that has loved him beyond love, would do nothing more than raise him even from the dead. Are you willing to go that far? That's asking a lot. You don't really know honestly until you're in that situation what you would do. I'd just be honest. I would struggle with that. You bound your son and you laid him on the wood and you picked up the knife and your intention was to slay him. That's faith. That's trust. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by... Faith comes by hearing, here I am. And hearing by the word of God, take now your son, your only son. Watch this. This is just incredible right here. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. Oh, come on. I know you're thinking I'm overreacting, but come on. That's got to be the greatest here I am moment in your whole life. Here I am. I knew it. I knew you would do this. I knew you would come through. I knew that if I'd be obedient, you would follow through with your word. I knew you. I knew your heart. I know you, God. I know that you were going to save me from this place. Woo! I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Here I am. Oh, here I am. 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 Oh, man. In verse 12, he says, and he says, God says, do not lay your hand on your son or do anything to him. For I know now that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Because Abraham did not withhold his son, his only son, from him, God did not withhold his son, his only son, from you. It's the eternal test. If I'm going to give up my son, I need it to be performed here by a man of faith that would be willing to give up his son. His only son. And then watch this. I'm almost done. I'm going to close. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Instead. Jesus was sent for you instead. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. You should go home and put that over the door of your house. The Lord will provide. As it is said, in this day the mount of the Lord is, it shall be provided. Then watch this. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself, he's speaking to himself, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply. Your descendants are by the stars of heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. He went back to his... Can you see them coming down the road? Him and Isaac? I guarantee they weren't like this. There's probably some dancing going on. But let me close this right here. Let me ask you a question. Your circumstances and all, there's probably people in this room right now that have come here this morning and you don't even know how you got here. Somebody might be struggling this morning and all you could think to do was just, if I could just get to church, maybe God's got something for me. I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to turn. I don't know what else to say. But I just got to get to church. God sees you. And he's speaking a word to you. And he's letting you know, hear my voice. Be attentive to me. Turn your ear to me. Have a hearing ear. And let me speak life to you. Let me lead you, guide you, direct you. Let me have you. You can't do it on your own. You have no ability in yourself to fix the situation that you're in currently. But my Father does. And can. If God was to speak to you today, let's just put it into real terms right here. You are living in a world that's very loud. There's a lot of distractions in your life. Family, money, job, sports. Think of all of the, okay, let's go deeper. Addiction. I felt God on that. Addiction, pornography, drugs, alcohol. There's things in your life that are doing nothing more than distracting you and causing noise in your life to such a degree that you cannot hear the voice of God when He whispers your name. Having a hearing ear is not not about your how great a person you are. matter of fact, having a hearing ear is actually a sign of brokenness. A sign of humility, a sign of not my will, but yours. I tune my ear to you, O Lord, that you might lead me in the path that you have set for me. I'm going to tag it in to the stand in the gap, and then we got to go. Stand in the gap. The first son was Ishmael. He went that way. And his descendants led to a line, a lineage. I'm just going to say it. Muslims. And can we just say it? ISIS. And Isaac went this way. And his descendants led to Jesus. And led to you. There's a gap. There's the gap. And the war is real. The gap is real. And you've been called, appointed, and anointed to stand in the gap. Not by your works, not by your raw ability, but have nothing more than being able to be a useful hearing ear for God to move you into position. Shiloh, you've been called to be a gap filler. To stand in the gap. To tune in. To break bondage of religiosity in the same old, and to move yourself and open your ears, drop that wax out of your ears, let go of the distractions of life, get yourself tuned in. Shiloh has always been a praying, hearing church, and we will not back up from that. I tune my ear to you, O Father, so that you can place me in the gap and I can be a bridge builder instead of a bridge breaker. In this political season, one of the things that have hurt my heart the most is to see Christians so shameful in their actions on Facebook and media and so hateful and mean and causing such dissension to the very people that God called you to reach. I hope you're right. I hope it's worth it. I hope being right that your candidate and your position and your place, I hope it's right. I mean, you know what? I hope that it feels good to be right. Because those people that you have hurt and you have damaged and you have made yourself right are the very same people God has called you to build a bridge to and go to reach. You've been called to stand in the gap. You've been called to have a hearing ear to the Father. You've been called to place your whole life on an altar. And to be able to sacrifice all of it because you tune to Him and let Him lead and guide and help Him allow you to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to stand in the gap because that's what you're called to do. God bless you all. Thank you for having me.